Playhouse 72. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, we bring you the week's finest radio entertainment in Playhouse 72. Tonight, Playhouse 72 presents A Small Matter of Elimination by J.S. Williams. In their large stately home just outside London, Charles Gillam and his wife Edith have extended an invitation to Edith's cousin, Stanley Browning, to join them for morning tea. However, it is morning tea with a difference, inasmuch as the purpose behind this neighbourly gesture is to have poor Stanley done away with permanently. Together with Edith's brother, Roger Curtis, who is staying with them, Charles and his wife have been busy preparing for this moment. And now, finally, the morning in question has arrived. Rolf Jacobs is the producer of A Small Matter of Elimination.
Good morning, Charles.
You missed breakfast.
Yes, I know. I didn't feel like any.
Pity. Henry really seemed to excel himself this morning.
Did he?
Yes. Grapefruit, porridge, bacon and eggs, the whole works.
How many eggs?
Two. Why?
I was going to ask Henry to make me an egg flip.
Well, what's to stop you?
Can't now.
Why not?
We only had two eggs left in the place.
Oh.
And you had them for breakfast.
Well, I'm sorry, my dear. I didn't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll send Henry out for some more. What time is it, anyway?
It's gone 9.
Already?
Yes, and your cousin should be here shortly.
When did Stanley say he was coming?
About 10 o'clock.
Have you seen Roger this morning?
No. Your dear brother seems to be taking his time, as usual.
Well, he's got a right to. He lives here.
Yes, and don't I know it. He's been with us since just after we were married, and that must be getting on for 6 years now, at least.
5.
With him living with us, it seems like 6.
Now you're being unkind. You know very well how he helps you with your work.
And how he helped himself to my clothes.
Charles!
Well, it's true. Only the other day I bought myself a beautiful dress shirt while I was in London. That evening when I saw Roger, I told him about it.
I suppose you're going to say he took it directly your back was turned.
Well, even that wouldn't have been so bad. He was already busy wearing it while I was talking to him.
That's nonsense. Roger would never stoop so low as that.
Apparently I know your brother better than you do. Anyway, unfortunately, we need him for our little scheme. So there's little I can do about it for the moment, other than let him help himself to my clothes.
Well, he should be here shortly. And the sooner we get this business over, the better.
Good morning, Mum.
Oh, good morning, Henry. I feel like an egg flip for breakfast.
We're fresh out of eggs, Mum.
I know. I believe Mr. Gillam had the last two.
Yes, Mum. Do you want me to get some more?
No, don't bother now. This afternoon we'll do.
Yes, but you must have something.
Perhaps later, when it's all over.
Oh, yes, of course.
Is there anything else I can get you?
No, thank you, Henry.
Oh, coffee? Tea?
No, thank you.
Perhaps a nice cup of cocoa. No, that's good.
Henry, please, no, thank you. Oh, here comes Roger.
At last.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Roger. Do you want anything to eat? If so, tell Henry he's still here.
No, I'm not really hungry. I wouldn't say no to an egg flip.
You'll have to. There's no flipping eggs.
No, I had the last two.
Oh.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'll have something later.
Henry, you may go. We'll have tea later. I'll tell you when.
Expecting visitors, Mum.
Just Mr. Browning.
All right, Mum.
Funny type, that one. Badly spoken, too. I don't know why you keep him on.
We like him. because there's one person we have on the premises who earns his keep.
Charles, I wish you'd stop digging at Roger all the time. You know how hard he tries.
Oh, tries.
That's all right, Edith. Anyway, I didn't mean anything by saying what I did about Henry. He's not a bad sort, really.
Good. Now, if you'll both throw in the towel long enough to attend to the problem at hand, we might get down to business.
Do you think it's a good thing to have Cousin Stanley done away with, I mean?
Not only good, but completely unavoidable, I'm afraid. That is, if you want to go on living the life of luxury to which you have hitherto been accustomed.
Sit down, Roger. Over there on the sofa, and listen to what Charles has to say.
Very well, then. How's this?
Splendid.
Well, now I suggest we go over the whys and the wherefores very carefully before we... Why do you keep staring at me?
Aren't those my socks you've got on?
Why, I...
They are! Why, the impertinence...
Please, Charles, really? I'm sure Roger doesn't mean any harm.
Well, of course I don't. I wouldn't wear his blasted socks if I didn't like them.
Oh, thank you.
Gentlemen, do you realize what the time is? Stanley may be here early.
Knowing your unpredictable cousin the way I do, I wouldn't say it isn't possible.
Dear Stanley, I'd be sorry to see him go. Actually, he's one of the family. I think that's why we agreed to name our organization after him.
Browning Metal Construction. I must say it sounds impressive. I never thought it would ever grow to the size it has during the past 4 years.
Yes, and once Stanley buys Ajax, it'll be even bigger. Only problem is, though, that through a personal agreement between Stanley and Ajax, your precious cousin is the only one who will benefit from this amalgamation. The Ajax company, probably for sentimental reasons, wishes the business still to be run under its own name, and only on this condition has it been persuaded to sell.
Which is why Stanley is going into this more as an individualist than as Browning Metal Construction, and consequently he'll collect the considerable gains, whilst we, his three co-directors, will be left twiddling our thumbs.
Precisely. And although our shares in Browning Metal are nothing to be sneezed at for the moment, Stanley will see to it that a lot of business will find its way from us across to Ajax, for the simple reason that he will then have the lot for himself.
Yes, but Ajax will also have at least two or three other people on the directors' panel.
Oh, true enough. But they won't have anything like as high a percentage in shares as we have with Browning Metal. And don't forget that although Stanley is senior shareholder and company director, because the four of us started out in this business together, we three are relatively financially hardly any worse off than he is. There, it'll be different. Stanley's proportion of the profits will be far above the others, and you'll have virtually a free hand.
It could even mean the end of Browning Metal.
Yes. If Stanley should choose to steal enough business away from our organization and let Ajax handle it...
So what's the answer?
Well, it's simple. We must kill him. I mean, isn't that what we all agreed upon a week ago?
Yes. Yes, I suppose it is.
Good. Well, then don't let's have any weakening in the ranks at this stage. Edith, what say you?
How do you propose to go about it?
Well, does it really matter?
But after all, he's our cousin, not yours.
Edith's right, Charles. It does give us a sort of, well, personal interest, you might say.
Perhaps you'd both like to make out a list of suggestions on how to do away with someone, and then hand it to Stanley to make his own choice.
I'm sure that won't be necessary. My brother and I were only trying to be decent about the whole thing.
Yes, but you still agree that he's got to go.
Of course.
Roger?
Naturally.
Good. That makes it unanimous.
But we still would like to know how you propose to go about it.
Yes, please tell us, Charles. It all sounds so very interesting.
I sometimes wonder if you are both really cut out for this sort of thing. However, I'll explain as briefly as possible. It all has to do with when I accompanied my friend Major Sutton on that trip to South America 2 years ago.
Well, when you went up to the Amazon.
Yes, that's right. Well, we came across some Indians who knew of a mixture of herbs, you see, which could be extracted from various wild plants and ground together to form a type of white powder.
White powder?
Mm-hmm. A very special white powder, my dear. Half a teaspoonful of this powder is enough to kill someone very easily once taken internally.
It's ridiculous.
Well, what's ridiculous?
To think that we now have to import poison from another country.
Oh.
I imagined all one had to do was to walk into a chemist shop where one could buy the local stuff. It must be an awful expense to have to import
please,
it from another...
Just give me half a minute. I'll explain. Look, you see, the effects of this powder I'm talking about only work approximately 1 hour after having been administered, when all traces of the poison disappear from the system. And the cause of death, to all appearances, is due to heart failure. So, the coroner's report would state anyway, we'd be absolutely in the clear. We'll just have to make sure that Stanley leaves here as soon as possible so that he won't be anywhere near us or this house when the poison takes effect. Fortunately for us, he's known to have a bad heart already, so there shouldn't be any trouble in passing it off as a natural death.
Are you positive about that?
Of course I am.
Well, I must admit it sounds an improvement on the local stuff. It's a pity we couldn't import it legally. Think of the potential.
Edith, we're not thinking of opening our own plant and marketing in a big way. We're only interested in one person, Stanley.
Oh.
It's just that my sister has a natural business brain when it comes to an opportunity of making more money.
Yes, I know. And I'll value that highly when Stanley's been eliminated, shall we say. And the three of us are left to run Browning Metal on our own without fear of losing business to anyone else.
We'll be able to split Stanley's share between us as well.
That's an incentive if there ever was one.
I take it then we're definitely all still in agreement,
Yes.
Yes.
How do you propose to go about it?
Yes, but I just explained
it. No,
Edith,
what
really.
I mean is, have you got enough of this white powder here with you now? And if so, how will you get Stanley to take it?
Oh. I brought just a sample of it back with me from South America. Goodness only knows why. Didn't think I'd ever have need of it. Shows you never can tell.
Did you bring enough of it back to, well, to fill half a teaspoon?
Providing Edith doesn't spill any, yes.
Me? Why me?
Because while Roger and I will be talking to Stanley, you, Edith, will excuse yourself and disappear into the kitchen. Stanley should be here shortly. Tell me, my dear, now that Roger's dashed upstairs for a few moments, what do you think of the idea?
Seems all right.
It's no use discussing it with him. He's never sure of himself or anyone else, for that matter.
You know, you don't really give him a chance.
Oh, let's face it, Edith. I know he's your brother, but, well, if it wasn't for the rest of us carrying him for all this time, where would he be? That's what I'd like to know.
I think you and I give him a complex. Look how he's coming in with us both this morning on this business concerning Stanley.
Shh. Yes, Henry.
Oh.
Excuse me, sir.
No, yes, Henry.
Yesterday, I believe you mentioned you wanted a pair of trousers pressed, ready for tonight.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. I'll fetch them now and bring them through to the kitchen.
Charles? Mm-hmm. What trousers are these?
Well, belonging to my tuxedo.
Your tuxedo?
Yes, dear, my tuxedo.
But why do you need them tonight? We're not going anywhere. Or are we?
It's my fault with all that's been happening. I forgot to mention it. We're supposed to be going out to dinner this evening.
Charles!
Is there anything wrong?
I should jolly well think there is. Don't you consider that's carrying things a little too far?
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, after all... Henry?
Yes, ma'am?
You may leave us.
Certainly, ma'am. I'll do your trousers later, sir. Will you bring them through to the kitchen?
Yes, all right. That's if I don't get my mind changed for me.
It won't take me long, sir.
Now, Edith, what's the trouble?
Well, I think it's a bit thick.
What's a bit thick?
Well, after all, it's one thing to do away with poor Stanley. But I think it's a bit much when you intend to go out and celebrate afterwards.
Oh, yes, but Edith...
Not to mention it being just a trifle premature.
Edith, please. This has nothing to do with Stanley.
Well, what is it to do with them?
The Dawsons. They invited us to dinner tonight. And as he's a prospective client for Browning Metal, I thought it'd be as well to accept,
you
know.
Today of all days,
yes, I know, I realized that. But it was arranged before this other business cropped up.
Must we go?
Well, we should. I've every reason to believe it could mean something big.
I don't feel like it under the circumstances. What about Roger? Was he invited?
No, just you and I.
Oh, poor Roger. He gets left out of everything.
Well, it's his own fault. He won't mix with people. On the few occasions he does try, he always seems to do something wrong. Look, I don't mean to be unkind, but you know I'm right, don't you?
I know you're both always arguing.
For Roger to come with us to the Dawsons for dinner would be either one of two things. Disastrous or hilarious.
Thank you.
nice of you to drop in, Stanley.
Yes, you know how we love to see you. It's a pity you can't make it more often.
Can't think why the sudden change. You usually avoid me like the plague.
Nonsense, it's just your imagination. Where would Browning Metal be without you? Oh, we really appreciate everything you've done for us.
And I suppose you think inviting me here this morning for tea is one way of showing your appreciation. Hmm? I make you people rich, and you offer me a cup of tea.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be enough for two cups.
Roger, don't be facetious.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
Where's Charles?
He went upstairs for something. He shouldn't be long.
Never around when you want him.
Why do you want him?
Well, he's got a very nice tie I'd like to borrow.
Oh, no.
What on earth do you want one of his ties for? Surely you have enough of your own.
Well, yes, I know, but I'm going over to Ajax this afternoon, and I've bought a new suit I want to wear.
That's very nice, but what has that got to do with one of Charles's ties?
Everything. Unfortunately, I don't have one that will go with it, but I happened to be with Charles last week when he bought a tie in London. Lovely thing. Unusual shade of blue with thin yellow wavy lines right down the center.
Funny. Wonder how I missed that one.
Good. Then that's settled. Speak of the devil. Here comes Charles now.
Hello, Stanley. Oh, Charles. Nice to see you could make it.
Yeah. You too, eh? Why is everybody being so friendly?
Why shouldn't we be? After all, where would we be if it wasn't for you? That's what I'd like to know.
Yes, Where would you indeed? Anyway, I must say it's very hospitable of you all to ask me over to join you for tea.
Perhaps you'd prefer something stronger, Stanley.
Edith, you wouldn't be trying to get rid of me by any chance, would you? You know very well that in addition to a bad heart, my liver isn't so hot either. No, tea will do very nicely, thank you.
Your liver? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I'd forgotten about that. Edith, there, would you mind running into the kitchen and giving Henry this packet?
Hmm?
The packet, Edith. Henry.
Oh, yes, of course. How stupid of me. This is the icing sugar he was asking for.
That's strange.
What is?
Keeping icing sugar in the bedroom.
Oh, yes, I suppose it must seem rather silly. Well, anyway, Edith, you'd better run along now.
Hmm? All right, I won't be gone long.
Is there anything I can do for you, Mum?
We're ready for tea. Thought I'd come and help you make it.
I know how to make tea.
Yes, I know you do, Henry, but
How long have I been with you now, ma'am?
5 years.
I've always managed to make tea on my own in the past, haven't I?
Yes.
Well, then...
That's enough, Henry. I just want to put some bicarb into Mr. Browning's cup without him knowing.
Oh, I see. Sorry, Mum.
Oh, that's all right, Henry. I appreciate the fact you can make tea, and very nicely, too, if I may say so.
Well, thank you, Mum. You say you don't want Mr. Browning to know about the bicarb?
No. He won't drink his tea if he thinks we put bicarb in it. And we must have it because of his indigestion.
Indigestion? I thought he had a bad heart and a funny liver.
Yes, well, now he's got indigestion as well.
Oh.
So we'd better pour the milk into the cups here so that the bicarb will dissolve. It's not the done thing, but I can still pour the tea out in front of everyone when it's ready to serve. Oh, you'd better cut some sandwiches as well.
This, Mr. Browning, he's quite an important bloke, isn't he?
Yes, why?
Well, I was just wondering which was the best china to use. I mean, we got the pale pink with the white spots, and then there's the blue with the gold stripes, which we haven't had out for some time. Or perhaps if you prefer...
Henry, it doesn't matter, really. I'll leave it to you.
Oh, good. Then I'll use the pale pink with the white spots. That always goes down well at this time of the morning. Here, I'll lay the tray.
Oh, thank you, Henry. Now, if you'll put the water on to boil and get the tea ready, I'll pour the milk into the cups.
All right.
At the same time... I put a teaspoonful of bicarb into the cup I want Mr. Browning to have.
Teaspoon, did you say? That's quite a bit, isn't it?
Yes, I know it is, Henry, but when I do a thing, I believe in doing it properly. Oh. Now then, this cup at the top left-hand corner of the tray is the one I'll be giving to Mr. Browning.
The one at the top left-hand corner?
Yes. And once I'm gone, whatever you do, don't mix the cups up or turn the tray round.
I'll be very careful, Mum.
Please, Henry. Very careful.
Now, don't you worry. While you're fixing up the milk and Mr. Browning's bicarb, I'll just go and put the water on.
Where did Roger did you go?
Oh, into the garden. I wanted to see how his rose trees were doing.
Amazing at a time like this.
So you're taking over Ajax, Stanley. That's quite an achievement.
Yes, could be quite a headache too, though.
Why should that be? I would have thought that Ajax is well enough on its feet to be anything but a headache.
Well, that's just the point. It's too well on its feet. When a business is that big, there can be a lot of trouble trying to keep everything running smoothly. Takes up a lot of time and hard work.
Well, I'm sure you won't have any problems on that score, old man.
I'm flattered by the confidence you seem to have in me, Charles, I must say.
Oh, you're too modest. Ajax couldn't find a better man to be in the driver's seat.
And I second my husband in that statement.
Yes? Tell me something.
What's that?
Why is everybody being so nice to me?
Why, I...
You have a complex, Stanley. Strange for a person of your unusual drive and flair for business ventures. You know, it doesn't suit you at all.
I feel like the fly who has been invited to join the spider for tea in his parlor.
Tea?
Yes, tea. Did you say we were having tea, didn't you?
Did I hear someone mention tea? Coming right up.
Henry, over here.
Where shall I put the tray, ma'am?
On the table will do.
All right.
Edith, pour right away, will you, my dear? I'm sure Stanley must be... ready for his tea?
Henry, call Mr. Curtis, will you, and tell him tea's ready. He's in the garden.
I'll get him right away, Mum.
While Edith is pouring, help yourself to a sandwich, Stanley.
Thank you.
What are they, anyway?
Fish paste.
Fish paste?
Yes.
Well, couldn't you have got something a little more interesting?
What would you suggest? Caviar?
Oh, 10 o'clock in the morning, that'd be ridiculous. Your brother's going to be pleased. He can't stand fish paste.
Well, I'm eating one. And it tastes all right to me. You shouldn't have gone to so much trouble, Edith.
We want you to come again, Stanley.
Just pour the tea, Edith. There's a good girl.
you do take milk, if I remember rightly, don't you, Stanley?
Yes, thank you.
That's good. Because the milk's already in the cups. I thought it'd be easier to pour it while I was in the kitchen.
Well, these sandwiches are really lovely. Do you mind if I have another?
No, please do,
old chap. Come on.
Oh, thank you. You know... It's a shame that Henry's got some sort of nervous complaint.
Nervous complaint? What nervous complaint?
I hardly know the chap now. I've seen it.
Well, I can't say that I have, but what is it?
Well, it was particularly obvious. I don't know why. When he was watching the tray, he seemed to twitch.
Twitch?
Yes, twitch.
Oh.
It wouldn't be so bad, but for all appearances, it looks as though he was winking at Edith each time.
Winking at Edith? Well, he wouldn't dare.
Oh, I know what it is. Yes, Stanley's quite right. Henry does have something the matter with him. It's called a nervous tic.
Oh, well, whatever it is, the poor chap should have it seen to. Could prove embarrassing for you, Edith. Ah, here comes Roger, just in time.
Oh, Roger, how are the roses?
Oh, they're looking great. They're almost in full bloom. I was told tea's up.
Yes, it's all ready.
Oh, good. Well, to make things easy, I'll just help myself to this cup on the end.
Yes, all right, then. No, not that one, Roger.
Why on earth not?
It's, I poured that one first, you see, so it must go to Stanley. The first cup's always the freshest, you know.
All right. Oh, I see.
Yes, Roger, I thought you would.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what's all this fuss over who has which cup of tea? Why is Roger wiping his brow with his handkerchief like that?
Perspiration.
Perspiration? It's not even warm. You'd think the cup you're giving me had poison in it or something.
Have another sandwich.
Well, I've had two already.
I can always cut some more.
You wouldn't be having me on, would you?
In what way, Stanley?
This cup. I mean, there isn't any poison in it, is there?
Don't be silly. Where would we get poison this time of the morning?
Oh, yes, of course. Stupid of me, I didn't think.
I'll also help myself to a sandwich.
Yes, and so will I. This rate, my dear, you'll have to go and cut some more,
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Fish paste.
Yes, have another.
No, thank you.
I must take off my hat to Henry. He really knows how to make a cup of tea.
Yes, doesn't he? I say, have you drunk it already?
Oh, not quite. What's everybody staring at?
We were just wondering...
Haven't any of you ever seen a chap drink a cup of tea before?
Well, of course. Taste all right?
Yes, naturally. In fact, it's jolly nice.
Are you sure? I mean, would you like some more?
Well, in a moment. Remarkable place, this. You get tea served to you as though they were throwing a banquet, and there's a butler who's been with the family for years, who's got a twitch no one has noticed before. Remarkable.
How much did you give him?
All of it. There's not a scrap left.
Ah, good. And we've got to get him out of here as soon as possible.
I know, Charles, but we can't force him to go. He might be offended and refuse to come again. I mean, oh dear, you know what I do mean.
Whatever you mean, we can't have him dying here, right on top of us.
Well, what can we do?
When I come down again, pretend you've just remembered an important appointment I have to keep at 11:15, and that Roger has to go with me. Chances are he won't remain here with only you and Henry left in the place.
All right, I'll think of something.
And keep an eye on Roger. I left a pair of trousers in the kitchen to be ironed. I want to look my best for the Dawsons this evening.
Be as quick as you can. Hmm? Hmm. How much time have we got left?
About 40 minutes.
Oh, he should be well away from us by then.
Well, I want to be sure. Now let me get that tie he wants to borrow.
Out after you, hasn't come back yet.
Huh? Oh, she must be in the kitchen then, talking to Henry about something.
Oh, did you get the tie?
Yes, I got it.
Well, aren't you even going to let me see it?
I dare say you'll have a good look when I hand it over to Stanley.
Oh, what a beaut. Just what I need to go with this new suit I've got.
How the blazes did I manage to miss that one?
A most unusual design.
Do you mind if I hold it for
Don't
a moment?
Don't let him touch it, Stanley. He's the original kleptomaniac. You'll probably not see him or the tie again. What are you doing?
I'm putting it on. I want to wear it now.
Oh.
I'll just shove the other one in my pocket.
Well, let me help you. Hmm? Here we are. That's it.
Well, how does it look?
Very elegant.
Unbelievable.
Well, that's that. Roger, I think I'd like to take a look at your roses while I'm here. Do you mind?
No, not at all. Are you sure you haven't got an appointment, Stanley?
Positive. Stop trying to push me. I'm just beginning to enjoy myself. Whereabouts are they, Roger?
Straight into the garden, and then turn left. You'll see them in front of you.
Good.
Shall I come with you?
No, don't bother. I'll find them on my own way round. It's much more fun. We'll see you later.
We've got to get rid of him. Where the devil is Edith? She was supposed to be here.
I don't know. I haven't seen her. Why?
Well, I told her to make some excuse to Stanley that you and I had an urgent appointment. And hope that he'd take the hint and go.
I'll see if I can go and find her.
Oh, don't bother. Here she is now. Edith, where the dickens have you... Good heavens, what's the matter with you, girl? You're as white as a sheet.
Charles.
Sit down over here before you collapse. You look terrible.
For goodness sake, what's wrong? What's happened? Why weren't you here as I told you?
Charles, please.
Would you like a drink?
I think we're all going to need one.
Something's wrong, isn't it?
Very much so.
Tell us what's happened.
Henry, he mixed the cups.
Oh, no.
How did he manage to do...
He said the tray was dirty and took the crockery off to clean it. He thinks he might have put the wrong cup and saucer back for Stanley.
The blithering idiot. I'll fire him.
Darling, you might not be around to do it.
What do you mean?
You could have drunk your own poison.
Come to think of it, that applies to any of us.
This is terrible. As you said, it could have been me. I could have drunk it.
Or me, or your wife, or perhaps Stanley after all.
Or even Henry.
Henry?
Well, before I left him a moment ago, he told me he'd made himself some tea at the same time. He admitted his cup could have got mixed up with the others, that he could have drunk the bicarbonate.
Well, serve him right if he did.
He's not to blame. He didn't know what was really in that packet I emptied into Stanley's cup.
I must say that although you're looking quite ill, you're treating this whole matter very casually indeed.
But it's no use fretting, my darling. None of us can undo what's already been done. Let's face it. In approximately half an hour from now, one of us... He's going to die.
Hello,
Roger, dashed good show.
What are?
Oh, your rose trees, of course. I can't think of anything else I can congratulate you over, can you?
No, I suppose not. I mean, I...
What's the matter with you, man? You look ill. In fact, you all seem a bit peculiar.
Edith is feeling a bit off colour.
Yes.
Edith is feeling a bit off colour. From where I'm standing, it looks like an epidemic.
I must admit, I don't feel too good either. Perhaps it's that fish paste sandwich I had. Can't stand fish paste.
Perhaps it was the tea.
Very funny.
Oh, sorry. No need to get touchy.
Oh, that's all right. I'm sorry, too. I guess I'm feeling on edge. I'm glad you like my roses.
Yes, I suggest you use a bit of fertilizer sometime before the week's out.
Oh, I only hope that's possible.
Possible? Why shouldn't it be? The shops are full of the stuff. Charles, why are you so quiet? It's not a bit like you.
I've just received some rather bad news.
Uh-huh. What was that?
I'd rather not talk about it, if you don't mind. Nothing personal, you understand.
Well, whatever it is, if you go on worrying about it the way you are now, it'll probably be the death of you.
Thank you, Stanley. Your concern is most appreciated.
Just remember, if it's going to happen, there's nothing you can do to prevent it. I'm a bit of a fatalist, you know.
Yes, that's what worries me.
Well, now I must be off.
Well, it's been nice that you could drop in like this.
Yes, yes, you must come again.
Thank you, I will. But before I go, I've got something to say that might cheer you all up.
What's that, Stanley?
Well, as I mentioned to you earlier on, running Ajax is going to be a bit of a headache. A full-time headache at that. And I've been thinking things over very carefully. And I've come to the conclusion it's not going to be a one-man job after all.
What exactly are you driving at?
Well, for some time now, I've made up my mind to invite you, all three of you, that is, to come in with me as equal partners.
As equal partners? Why, Stanley, that's wonderful. Oh, dear.
What's the matter? Why the sudden change in tone?
Oh, it's just that she's so overcome by your offer, aren't you, dear?
Yes, yes. That's right. Of course I am. You're very generous, Stanley.
Oh, nonsense. You've all been very loyal to Browning Metal ever since it started. How could I leave you out on something as big as Ajax? Anyway, we can go into the details after I've been to see them this afternoon.
It's very good of you, Stanley. I only wish I'd known it before.
Before? Before what?
Before tea. We would have used a different brand.
Ridiculous. There was nothing wrong with the one you had. Anyway, what on earth has tea got to do with the three of you coming into Ajax?
Excuse me, I've just come to clear the cups away. I won't be a minute.
Oh, must you, Henry? Yes, I suppose you must. But please be as quick as you can.
And Henry, later I want to have a little talk with you. That is, if Providence has no objections.
Yeah, all right, sir.
Well, I must be off. Thank you, Edith, for having me over. You too, Charles. And Roger, don't forget the fertilizer. Those rose trees are well worth looking after. And Henry.
Yes, sir.
That was the best cup of tea I've tasted in a long time.
Well, thank you, sir.
Probably some special recipe you've got, eh? Bet you put something in it.
No, just water.
Well, goodbye, everybody. We'll get together again.
How are you feeling, Stanley?
Me? Well, fine. Never felt better.
Oh. Look after my tie. I might need it sometime.
Well, don't worry. It's in good hands. Well, which way out shall I go?
Oh, through the garden. Wait, I'll show you.
I'll also come. I could do with the fresh air.
Well, bye, Edith. Thank you again.
Goodbye, Stanley.
You feeling better now, Mum?
I'm not sure, Henry.
Oh, you was looking terrible in the kitchen. Did I say something to upset you?
That's the understatement of the year.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mum. Funny part about it is I'm not feeling all that hot myself.
Why aren't you?
I don't know. Maybe it's something I ate. Or drank. I wonder what Mr. Gillen wants to speak to me about.
I'm not sure, but whatever it is, brace yourself just to be on the safe side.
Do you think I should ask him for a rise?
A what?
A rise. For the last couple of months, I've been trying to pluck up enough courage to ask him. I've been waiting for a good opportunity to present it.
Take my word for it, Henry. This is not it.
But...
No buts. This is definitely not the right moment.
Oh, all right, if you say so.
Yes, I do. Now, you'd better take the train to the kitchen before they return.
Yeah, all right, and then I'll do the shopping. ¶¶
The hour is almost up. In a few minutes' time, we shall know how fate has played her hand.
How do you feel, Charles?
I suppose you're hoping I'll say I'm feeling terrible.
No, of course not. Don't be silly.
Don't worry, Roger. If it's any consolation to you, I admit I'm not 100%.
And for your information, neither am I.
It's to be expected. How about you, my dear? How is your present state of health?
I want to be sick. That's exactly how I feel. I think I'm quite ill.
Thought you were being very quiet.
That's mainly because I've been thinking.
Thinking? What about?
Stanley's proposition. If we'd all waited instead of going ahead with his... Well, you know what. We would have learned that this whole business would not have been necessary.
You're quite right. It wouldn't have been necessary. Apparently, Stanley intended to cut us in on Ajax the whole time.
And what's more, as equal partners. Now, what happens if he dies?
We lose out altogether.
Oh.
Ajax would never sell to the rest of us without him as a figurehead. They know that he's the only one who could make a go of it.
And if he doesn't die?
Oh, look on the bright side, Roger. Perhaps I won't be missing any more clothes. Or else my whole wardrobe will be yours for the taking.
Oh, I'm sorry about all that. Taking your clothes, I mean. If we somehow get out of this mess, I won't do it again. That's a promise.
If ever we get out of this mess, I won't complain again. And that's a promise.
Oh, thank you, Charles.
To be perfectly honest, I never really minded all that much.
This sounds like a round of true confessions.
Edith's right. You know that pale blue shirt you like so much?
The one I missed 2 months ago?
Yes.
Well?
It's in my wardrobe.
Oh. Oh, well, I suppose you'd better keep it. Yes, that's it. Keep it. Please accept it as a personal gift from me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And when my roses are in bloom, I'll...
Give him a bunch. That's sweet. I'm sure Charles will love it. Now stop it, the pair of you. I can't take it anymore.
What do you mean?
That I prefer it the way it was before. I don't think I could ever get used to you both being so nice to one another. Doesn't sound natural. In any case, I think we can all relax.
All right, what's the time?
Well, we had tea at 10:30. And it's now gone 11:30. If, therefore, what you say is correct, that this poison works an hour after having been taken, we are now completely in the clear.
Yes, that means that...
That means that you can take back your pale blue shirt and Roger can keep his roses.
By Jove, you're right, you know. It is over an hour.
In which case, the cups weren't mixed up after all, and Stanley... Oh, poor Stanley.
Not necessarily. Henry also helped himself to a cup of tea in the kitchen at the same time, remember?
Yes, well, let's go and check up on him now, right away.
I sent him shopping. He's not back yet.
Oh, yes, he is. I just heard the kitchen door.
So did I, Edith. Go and call him in here. We must see how he is.
If he'd drunk Stanley's cup by mistake, he wouldn't even be here.
It doesn't matter. There could be a small delay before it takes effect. I presume the three of us are feeling all right.
Yes.
Well, I'm fine.
Good. Now call Henry.
All right, then. Henry! Henry! Come here, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Henry, would you mind stepping over here a minute? Oh, my goodness. Henry, what's the matter? You look ghastly.
I feel ill, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry, but...
Charles, Roger, come here quickly. Henry's
what
about...
What is it? Henry.
I feel terrible. Do you mind if I just lean against here?
Sit down, man, sit down.
You.
There, that's it. Now, where's the pain?
Shall I call a doctor?
No, it's... I'll be all right.
No, but you're looking awful, Henry.
I'll be all right, but just give me a moment. Oh, it was terrible.
What was terrible? Speak, man, what was terrible?
It's Mr. Browning.
Oh, what about Mr. Browning?
A car accident. Oh, horrible it was. Dead. Complete mess. Couldn't recognize him. Oh, it happened at the shopping center when I got there. A big truck went into him and cut his car in half. I saw it all. Oh, horrible it was.
Oh,
how close
terrible.
Were you?
Close. His body was thrown out in front of me.
Oh. But Effie was beyond recognition. How do you know it was Mr. Browning?
Well, before he left here, I saw he was wearing that new tie of yours. I saw it on him, or all that was left of him.
You're sure that he's dead?
He couldn't be anything else. Nobody could have lived through that. Nobody.
Henry, go to your room and lie down until you feel better.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll be all right. Oh, horrible it was. Horrible.
And now?
So, it was Stanley after all. I'm just thinking how strange life can be. We invite Stanley for tea to murder him. After the poison has been administered, we decide we need him alive. Only to learn that he's now been killed in a road accident. An accident which would never have occurred had we never invited him over here in the first place.
We all know that, my dear. I repeat, and now.
And now? Hey, Roger, where do you think you're going?
To get the trousers belonging to my tuxedo.
What for?
Well, I know it's not really the proper moment to mention this or even think about it, but I'm supposed to be dining out tonight, and I thought I'd give Henry my trousers to press when he's feeling better.
Dining out?
Where are you supposed to be dining out, Roger?
At the Dawsons.
The Dawsons? Well, that's impossible. That's where we're going. I mean...
I know. They phoned me some time ago and told me. Something about a business contract with Browning Metal, and Mr. Dawson wanted me in on it.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard
of. I'm sorry, Charles, but he seemed to think that I was the most suitable person in the company to do business with. Apparently you and Edith were only asked along out of courtesy.
Oh, courtesy?
But don't worry, I can always put in a good word for you.
Courtesy? This is outrageous.
Darling, your blood pressure.
Blood pressure? Roger.
Yes, Charles?
You can jolly well give me back that pale blue shirt I've been missing for the last 2 months.
Listening to A Small Matter of Elimination by J.S. Williams, produced for Playhouse 72 in the Durban studios of Springbok Radio. As Charles Gillam, you heard Douglas Bristow, and Maureen Adair as Edith. Frank Graham was Roger Curtis, and Ivor Kissin played the part of Stanley Browning. The part of Henry was played by Jim Williams. A Small Matter of Elimination was produced by Rolf Jacobs. Playhouse 72. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, we bring you the week's finest radio entertainment in Playhouse 72.